We're going to, we've been so blessed to look at Jesus, his supremacy, his sovereignty. We found out in our very first lesson that he was in fact God, that Jesus and God are one, and that makes him supreme to everything else. You don't get any higher than God. And so after establishing that he is in fact the God-man, the God-man, that means that he's 100% God, 100% man. He's homorusha compadre, homorusha padre, very God and very man, all at the same time. He's just God, and that makes him supreme. And so if he's supreme, he's supreme and superlative in anything he does. And we've been discussing the last couple of weeks about him being a supreme high priest. In other words, the other priests were sinless, were sinful, and they had to go and offer sacrifices, first of all, to clean up themselves, and then offer sacrifices represented by animals. But Jesus the Christ, we find that he died, he offered himself a sinless sacrifice, one without spot or blemish. That makes him supreme. And he's the supreme intercessor because he has direct access and has granted us direct access to the Father. He sits on our behalf every day and intercedes. While other guys, your favorite deacon, Deacon Harmon, Deacon Reese, they are sleeping in their beds, Jesus is right there to answer. You don't have to call your deacon. You don't have to call the pastor, priest, potentate, or anybody else. You can go directly to Jesus because he neither sleeps nor slumbers. So don't worry about your anthropos representatives, your mankind representatives, your men that are sleeping. Let them sleep and go to the Father. Let them rest. They need the rest. That makes him supreme. That makes him superlative. And then last week we found Sister J, that he is in fact supreme because he's eternal. He's a priest that's going to be around for a while. You know, and in other words, he never was, he never is, he will always be. He just is. It's part of the isness of God. That makes Jesus supreme. He's going to be around, see, because the guys that were counseling me in my early years, some of them have gone and met their maker. Some of them have gone and don't ever show up no more. Won't ever show up anymore. Don't know where they're at. But he is constant, he is eternal, and that makes him supreme. Now, what the writer to the Hebrews has done for you in these past few weeks, Sister Mills, is that he's meticulously taken you to remembering. He wants you to remember. He wants you to remember all of that. And the reason I know, you know, after chapter 10, he then goes into where he stated the general conclusions about the supremacy of Christ. He goes in and talks about some of the people that were instrumental in perpetuating the faith. It's called the honor roll of faith. And in chapter 11, what we see is that we see this great wall, if you would, of faith. You know, talking about Abraham and Isaac and Rahab and all of them that were on this honor roll. Paul tells us and tells those Jewish converts, just remember, just remember. Then chapter 12, brother. Verse 1, he says, yeah, you need to remember, but you know what? You need to reconnect. You need to renew your commitment. You need to remember who Christ is, what he's done, but you need to make a new commitment. Don't run. Don't run. Be encouraged by what I've told you thus far, that Christ, in fact, is supreme. But today, through the writers, they want to bring you a topic entitled The Author and Finisher of Your Faith. The Author and Finisher of Your Faith. let us get right into the lesson. And now that we remember, let's make a recommitment after today's lesson, because the lesson is not only for those Jews who had converted and are now being persecuted and on the run. It's for us. It shows us that we can remember, we can hang it. We have a legacy. You know, we have something that we can draw from. We have both expressed, first of all, in our supreme priest, and then in some people who have done some great things before us. Because you ain't the only one that's ever run this race. You ain't the only thoroughbred that's ever been born. Okay? And we're going to see. Verse 12, verse 1, it tells us right off the bat that we're not by ourselves. Verse 1, what does it say? Paul says, I know you're on the run. You need some encouragement. But here's a final word before I wrap up, before I give my concluding remarks in 13. There are people that were before you who have run the race of faith that you are running. In other words, you have some examples. The encouraging thing to know, this is why you ought to be in a local assembly. This is why you need to belong to a church. This is why you ought to be in family church school. This is why you ought to be in a singles ministry, Bible study, evangelism, men's ministry, women's ministry, Bibles. This is why you need to be there, because this is what you draw your encouragement from, folk who have already done the same thing, or folk who are doing the same thing. He says, you're compassed, you're surrounded by witness of folk. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses before you, they all ran the race of faith, and they did it the same way. They trusted Christ for their salvation. Y'all don't hear me. Paul here is telling them that this is a race, and he used this sports analysis. He says, this is a race that's been run by other folk. Then he says, gee, lay aside every weight. Y'all don't get this. I know you don't. See, because a lot of folk will not submit themselves to training. People want it easy. And in other words, and if they submit themselves to training, they want to run with the same gear that they train with. Y'all don't hear me. Let me see, I'm just an old country boy. You know, the issue is that I'm training, Rich, for the 100-yard dash. And I put weights on my ankle. I used to do this, y'all. I know what I'm talking about, Mac. Because I'm trying to build up the speed. But come race day, it's one thing you got to do. You got to take away the ankle weights. Because they will hinder you. They slow you down. Other folk can run the race, and they see you out there walking with those ankle weights. You know what they say? Loser. There'll be signs up around you bigger than the ones at the Trump rallies. You know, they'd be holding up signs. Loser. Paul says, you've got to set aside all those things that will hinder you. But Stormy, I see that somebody still didn't get me. See, because in ancient days, when Paul says lay aside every weight, he meant every weight. You got it. Everything. And everything is all. Everything is everything. See, because in those days, athletes, well-trained, well-disciplined athletes, they were called gymnos. It's where we get our Greek word gymnast. And gymnos really is a word for nakedness. In other words, bare it all. Get rid of everything. Because the more stuff you get away, get off you, the better you can run. If you're going to run this race, you got to strip down. You got to get away from. Now, this is an endorsement of your crazy fetishes to get naked and walk around. The weights he's talking about all weights. He's talking about the weights of even family, the weights of some of the relationships that you have. You need to jettison them. You know, sometimes we even need to get rid of, instead of cleaning out our closets, we need to clean out our friends. Amen. You know, because they can be an obstacle to you. You know, you want to strip down. You want to be fast. You know, you don't want anything to hinder you. So get rid of it. Now, I'm telling you right now, I did not drive my Sunday car. I drove my Obita today. But Deacon Harmon, trust me, it's full of gas. So would you please start it up? Because some of these folk looking at me funny. They're like, he getting ready to get in my business now. Yes, I sure am. Because too many of us want to run with the same stuff that we got here with, that we train with. Paul is saying, man, it's man up time. It's woman up time. And you got to lay away some things. You got to put aside some things if you're going to be effective in this race of faith. With the Jews that he's writing to, Sister V, he's telling them, this law thing that y'all so hung up on, y'all got to jettison that. You want to go back to something that is not as good. I've spent 11 chapters explaining to you why Jesus is better than anything you got. Now, that's good training, but you got to put that aside. You got to know, I'm going to run the race just like Abraham did. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Rahab. In other words, he says, you got to trust God. Don't trust stuff that you've been taught about. Don't trust religion. Trust the relationship that you have with your high priest. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And then he says, let us run with patience. Don't get so much in a hurry to run this race of faith. Let me tell you, you don't live till you die. Oh, man. I can't believe they paid me for this. You're going to live till you die. So you need to trust God every breath till you get out of here. And some of the things are not going to happen right away. Some of the obstacles that have been put in your life are not going to get out your way. You know how I know? Some of the same things that plagued me in 2015 are plaguing me right now. They still obstacles. First of all, just trying to get good information. Just trying to get good information. The same obstacle it was last year, the year before. But I'm patiently running down. I'm trusting the Lord. You know why? Because verse 2 encourages me to do that. See, he says that you got to take away everything. You got to get naked and run this race. But in verse 2, he says what? Y'all can stop right there. He says, if you're going to run this race of faith, you're going to do it with endurance and patience. You're going to strip away everything that hinders you. You got to do some looking. And it ain't just a casual glance. It's a look. In other words, you got to stare at Jesus. Your main focus has got to be Jesus. That's how you lay aside every weight. Did you think you're just going to take off some ankle weights and you'd be all right for this race of faith? Did you just think about dropping a couple of friends that you'd be all right for this race? He says, no, you've got to look away from those things and you've got to look to Jesus. The looking that's required here requires you to turn from what you're gazing at and look and gaze at Jesus. Whenever you're in a battle, it's tough. Trace, did I say it was tough? It's tough. But the reason it's tough, we're still looking at the issues. The reason why some of you are having such difficulty with mankind is that you're looking at them. You're looking at Facebook. You're looking at Snapchat, Cracker Jack, Upjack, Kojak, and any other kind of jack, instead of looking at Jesus. Instead of reading his word, Harry, that's how you look at Jesus. We want to go look at, I got to look at my posts. What? If we were as anxious about reading the word of God as we are reading text messages and posting, oh, warm up the car. Come on, Rich, help me out. I need to get out of here because they're looking at me funny. They ain't looking at me like I'm getting up in their business. But the issue is we've got to look to Jesus. You know why? Then he tells us why. This is why I love the word of God. It says, because Jesus is the author. Oh, did y'all think we were going to get away from him? He is the author. In other words, he's the creator. Ooh, he's the creator of your faith. Oh, no. Storm, they didn't holler enough from that. See, you think that you got all the faith and God's got all the grace. But now I'm here to tell you this morning that any of my basic doctrine students, people who just been in there 6-7 weeks, can tell you that God got the grace and the faith. Y'all don't hear me. He's got it because he's the creator of it. He's got it. He's got it to give. And he gives both the grace and the faith. Y'all don't hear me. But for those of you in basic doctrine, you can get this note because it'll be on the test next week. God's got the grace and the faith because the word of God says that he has the faith. Says here that he's the author. Yeah. That means he's a creator. And John, y'all remember him, don't you? Oh, over in John, John says a man can receive nothing. What does nothing mean? Unless it's given by God. You can't have no faith unless it's given by God because he's the author. But he's not only the author and creator of faith, he's the finisher. He is the perfecter of faith. In other words, God gives you something and then makes it better than what he created. Oh, y'all don't hear me? See, the better there is about he gives you faith and then he matures you in the faith.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me? Because Jesus is superior. And he wants you to recommit to the fact, first of all, of who he is. And instead of him going back telling you that he's a God man, he's saying that very faith, the race that you're running of faith, God gave it to you. And you know what? He'll sustain you in it. It ain't what it needs to be right now, but God is perfecting it every day. Every day I get a little bit better. I learn to depend on him. I trust him a little bit more because God is in it. Jesus is, he created it. And he's perfecting it. He's maturing me in it.
Yes.
He tells you that Jesus is the author. We ought to focus on him because he's the author and he's the finisher. And then John got happy. Paul got happy. Got John on the brain this morning. Yeah. Paul gets happy. And you know what he says? Who? For the joy, y'all read it, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand. Now, if that ain't the gospel, I don't know what is. He's saying this race of faith is based on the author and the creator, the perfecter of your faith. But it's based on the gospel. It's based on the redemptive work that Jesus did at the cross. Oh, I see I need to break this down. He says right here, who for the joy, in other words, it pleased him. It pleased him to endure the cross. To come down and save your soul, it pleased him. Nobody had to beg him. Nobody had to force him. Nobody could just take him, make him do it. But Paul later describes this over to the Philippians church. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, thought equality with God was not something to be held on to. So he came down here, he lived, and then subjected himself to the cross. That means he died, y'all. And you know what? It says here, he enjoyed it. You hanging your heads out there crying, talking, oh, please, they're killing Jesus. Shut up. He's saying, this is up. Hey, look here. I'm delighted. Yeah. Matter of fact, an old man, Isaiah, said, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Skip down two verses, and it says, yes, it pleased God. So him and God agree that it's joyful to die for wretches like you and me. Despising the shame, he who knew no sin climbs up on an old rugged cross and dies, takes on sin for you and me. The shame. Do you realize how miserable it was to be crucified in those days? It's a shameful death. He disregarded it. He thought a relationship with you and I was more important than him just being God, him just being supreme. He's willing to demonstrate his supremeness. He's willing to demonstrate his superlative position. Because after all, he's supreme. That's all Paul is saying. He's saying, but not only did he endure the cross, disregard the shame, but now he's sitting up there in the throne at the right hand of God. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, condescended, came down, lived, died, and was resurrected, but then ascended back to the Father and assumed his position in the Godhead. And because he did that, he's highly exalted above every name. That the very name, every knee's going to bow. That makes him superlative. And but Paul is saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to reconnect to this idea that animals and goats and lambs don't have to die for you no more. God did it once and for all. And now he sits in a position to not only have justified us, but he sits in a position as an intercessor as we are sanctified as we walk toward Jordan. Y'all don't hear me? But I got to move. He says, for that, I want you to consider. And that there, I'm told, I haven't had an opportunity to do my, my etymological study, but that word there is a mathematical term. It talks about accounting. In other words, he says, this is what you ought to count up, that he endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. If Christ could do this for us, a little old pain and persecution because somebody talking about you? Because you got to go through some little trials now? He says, look, all you got to do is keep reading. He says, because a brother James is going to tell you, in this life, there will be trials and tribulations. Surprise, surprise, surprise. But you're going to wimp out? You're going to cop out? When God took on all this mess for you? When Jesus himself, your high priest, did this for you? He says, I think not. He says, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I don't see you nobody putting you up on no cross. No matter what you're going through, folk. And it's hard out here. Anybody, matter of fact, I was walking up a stairs today and conversation was, Hey, just one day at a time. That's all you can do. Just strive one day at a time. Because let me tell you, what people do, they try to group a whole bunch of days. That's what my calendar is, one day at a time. I don't know about no year. Year what? I don't know where it will be. But I do know about today. I got an opportunity today. And I'm not going to wimp out today. I'm not going to think that my life is so tore up today that I forget about what Christ has already done for me. Amen. Ain't nobody asked me to get on no cross. And if they did, I can tell you. Let me tell you, you know, Vanessa, you know I love you, don't you? Hey, you, Sister Bowman, y'all know I love you. Bro Harmon, Rich, y'all, you know I love you. Don't you know I love you? Ask me to get on the cross. No! But Christ did. Makes him superior. But Brother Sneed is a good man. Yeah, a good man ain't going to die for you. Tell you that right now. Love life too much. Too selfish. But Christ wasn't selfish. So when you start going through, think about something. But I got to hurry on. Verse 5, read verse 5 for me. For whom? Let the word build on the word. Always let the word interpret the word. Here, Paul switches his analogy from a sports metaphor to one that of a parent relationship. So we move from a competitor and competition to a family condition. And he says, if you don't get it, because some of y'all don't play sports, and y'all wouldn't get it. And that's why Paul wrote this like this. He said, but most of y'all are, even if you're not mamas and daddies, you're brothers and sisters. He says, you got to understand. And see, some of us, you know, are older brothers and sisters. And, you know, the older brother, you know, was always put in charge, you know, and the older sister was always put in charge. And matter of fact, sometimes their administration was worse than mom and daddy, you know. But it's one thing, you know, whether you're the older brother or the older sister, whatever, they're still your mom and daddy cheering. That means you don't be doing anything to your mom and daddy children. Them your brothers and sisters. So he says, okay, they understand that. You can move on now and tell them. All right, perfect. I got them set up. It says, don't you remember? He says that, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourge every son whom he receiveth. He says, these trials and tribulations that you are going through, he's saying, sometimes it's just flat discipline. But can I just digress for a minute and talk about us? We don't like that. It ain't politically correct now. He's saying, but every child that God receiveth, he will chasten. He going to put something on you. Your mom and daddy may not put something on you, but God your father will put something on you. Because this is how he disciplines. He will chasten. He's saying that just like you trained to be an athlete, got some soccer players in here, you know, just like you trained to be a soccer player, God is training you to be a son. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? More mothers and daddies need to train their children to be sons and daughters. Oh. See, we're of the mindset we need to train children to be adults. We got to let children be children first. We got to teach them how to be children. Because some children never have a childhood. Because of mom and daddy. Oh, come on, Paul. Please don't get mad. Some of you single parents are not doing your children a favor because you don't discipline them. Some of you, mom and daddy, full family, are not doing your children any favor. Well, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that. Well, I'm getting ready to share something with you. Please don't get upset with me, because this is straight out of the Bible. And if you want to, you can open your Bibles in case you don't trust our Sunday school book. Because verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If your mama and daddy don't chasten you, they don't love you. And what you will do is raise a generation of rebellious folk. And I'm here to declare and decree today that that's exactly what we've done. When you've got grown folk walking around telling children to call them by their first name, that's too casual, folk. That's destroying our respect and honor. And that's why they can grow up and not respect anybody. If they don't have to respect you, let me tell you something. I have one child. That one child has never even in jest called me Terrence. As a matter of fact, there are very few people that call me Terrence. You have to have a relationship to call me Terrence. You know, but we become so casual that we don't want to chase in our children. So we let them say anything. Oh, that's cute. Well, it may be cute now, but when they're cussing you out, it won't be cute then. When they're putting you out of your house that you done paid for, it won't be cute then. When they're stealing your Social Security check, robbing your bank account, it won't be cute then. Because there's no chastening. There's nothing wrong. Because it says, God himself says, any child of mine is going to be chastened. Because that's how you train them. You show them the way. But let me tell you, Pastor Brown deposited something in my spirit long time ago, years ago. I've never forgotten it to this day. He doesn't say it very much now because he's in the grown folk business. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Grown folk. All this kid grown now. But when he was kids, he was saying, I never punish my children for something I have not talked to them about. Because first of all, you got to feed them before you can chase them. And God says, my word is to be a light and a lamp unto your pathway. My word, I'm teaching you every day. And because I am the consummate teacher, I will do some chastening. Because when you fail the test, you get to take it again. See, you know how like, we give you a test, give you a score, and move on. No. You will keep on taking the test until you pass the test. Because God chastens the sons that he loves. Read verse 8. But if just eyes, man. Okay? You are illegitimate. A person who does not chasten their children don't think they're legitimate. They are stepchildren. Oh, I done hit on one now. Because, you know, we in this society today, gee, we've got all these blended families. And you know, it's like, don't you touch my kid. I won't touch your kid. Wait a minute. They in your house. They eating up your groceries. And let me tell you, you don't love them if you don't chasten them. And I'm going to tell you, don't matter much now. But, I got grandchildren. I got young grandchildren. Something happened to me and Sister Sneed, and a woman called talking about breathing up, you know, snoring in my face, talking about they don't love my grandchildren. No. When I tell you what you don't love, you don't love being with me. You hit the road, jackass. Because you don't think what's mine is legitimate. God says if you don't chasten them, you think that they're illegitimate, that they're not yours. Boy, that is rough. Because you know where y'all ain't condemning nobody. Ain't talking about nobody. You just let the word should convict you and convince you. Children need to be dealt with. And if you don't know how to deal with them, you don't know how to chastise them, just go to the Word of God. It shows how that's to be done also. You're not to be a tyrant, not to rule over nobody, not to exhort them to wrath. The Lord tells you all of that. But he says you do not love them if you don't discipline them. And when you got children just running wild, saying any kind of thing, doing any kind of thing, somebody is not doing their job. Somebody is not displaying the love that they need to display. Because just because you chasing a child, just because you discipline a child, doesn't mean that you hate them. It means you, just the opposite. It means you really love them. I had a seventh grade teacher. Y'all may not know this, but and always been the way I am now. But as a seventh grader, it's one thing. You got to understand, I was 6 feet tall and I was only 12 years old. I've only grown 2 inches in all these years. So the issue was that if you started something, you're going to get a beat down. Fight. No doubt about it. I ain't going to give you the chance to back out, no nothing. You started it, I'm going to finish it. So if you don't want nothing, you really don't want to do something, you want to be smart mouth, you got to warn me and say, hey, can we play your game of linguistics? You know, can we play some word games or something? You know, can we play the dozen or something? But if you start talking about physically handling me, it was over with. Well, I had a seventh grade teacher who took me in her room one day. Big, robust woman. Took a paddle, a wooden paddle. And here's her words to me. Oh, y'all, you babies probably need to close your ears. She told me, Terrence, I'd rather see you dead than spoil all this talent. And she began to beat down. A teacher. I ain't talking about mama and daddy. I'm talking about a teacher. But what she was saying is, I love you too much to let you go on living this kind of life that's going to end up in death or prison. And she says, rather than have someone else kill you or have some authorities incarcerate you for years, I'd rather take this life myself. And she beat me just like she was going to take that life. And to the day she died, I love this woman. Because when you look back over your life, you see those turning points. You see who really loved you. You see who really cared for you. Not for those folk who caught up, he's so smart. Knowing I was a devil. Saw where I was, what I was doing. They did it out of God's word. They did it out of love. And it says, if you don't discipline your children, you think they're illegitimate. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? If our fathers do it, we don't even know what some of the motives are for our fleshly fathers. But we know one thing. Our Heavenly Father is correcting us for our spiritual good. A man or a woman who does not subject themselves to discipline will run away, will do anything. I'll say this again. A man or woman who does not subject themselves to discipline, who can't do no wrong, who make up excuses, I did this, and oh, but it wasn't me, I did it, but I don't think nothing need to happen to me. They'll do anything. And you know what? You let them up in your house. You ain't disciplined. Then you wonder why. How in the world could he steal his mama's money? Easy. How in the world can he say that kind of easy? Hadn't been trained. Hadn't been disciplined. Hadn't been told he's wrong. Hadn't been told he's right. Been a lie. Been babied all their life. You know, babying. And sisters, let me tell you something. My sisters in Christ, just stop babying these boys. All these soft rascals growing up. Soft! Let me tell you something. If you don't teach, the Bible is clear. Do y'all remember Elijah and Elisha? Yeah. Elijah was, you know, the nice prophet. You know, Elijah was gruff and rough. He hardly speak to you. But his whole thing was, it's a tough world out there. And if you're going to endure tough times, you got to be raised. You got to get a little toughness to you. Stop trying to make people soft. Because you get all these angry folk. Let me tell you one thing. I will never, anybody in here, I don't care it is, there's some bad dudes in here. You know, oh, got more muscle, got more strength, got more youth than me. But I will never say anything in writing that I will not say to them in person. Bottom line, if you big and bad, you can get up there and all them texts and posts and talking about I'm this and that, come see about me. Come see me if you say the same thing. And let me tell you one thing. I ain't been saved that long that you can say something on post and then come up and talk about, I didn't really say that. Because now you're insulting my intelligence. You're saying I can't read. Not I am only all that stuff you said about me, and now you're saying I can't read. Now, one or the other, you know, you either said it, but please don't insult my intellect by saying you didn't say it. Because you need to be disciplined. And if your mom and daddy won't do it, it's too late for me to start dealing with. Because let me tell you, mom and daddy will have a lot more mercy on you than some of these brothers around in the church, some of these sisters around in the church. You better chasing them. You better. You don't want to teach somebody not to survive? This is a mean world out here. Do you know that there's none righteous? No, not one. If you really believe that, there's nowhere in the world you would not discipline your children. And that's why when they go to college, they fall into all kinds of traps. You know, that's why when they go off to the military, they get involved in all kinds of craziness stuff. But there's some things, military or not, I knew one thing. I ain't going to embarrass my folk. Oh, no. Because they, knowing my grandmother, she would have called a recruiting officer. I heard you got a boy down there that ain't acting right. Don't send him to no first sergeant. Don't put him out. Send him right to my, give him a 1 hour, give him a 24-hour pass, and I guarantee you'll have the best soldier you ever seen. Because that's what fathers do for their children. That's what real mothers do for their children. They don't baby them. They prepare them for this world. And Paul is telling those dudes, you guys, wait a minute. Just because you're going through a little hurt now. Amen. This will bless you. So y'all can go. And the young folk in here too. No matter what pain you're going through right now. I know you have pain. Everybody have pain. Do you realize, young lady, that you will have more pain in your life than you will ever have as a young person? Because once you turn 21, the average person lives to 70 now. I mean, just by 70. So you have 20 years of pain and 51 years of super pain. There's nothing. I remember those days. I know what you're going through. I used to think, oh, I'd be glad when I get out of here. Here come daddy. Here I'm breathing ahead. Dad, why we got to do this homework? You know why? You know why I got to do the homework? So you don't have to do homework forever. Yeah, because if you don't do the homework, You'll be at home doing home while somebody else is working. But somebody gonna work or you're gonna starve. So you might as well do the homework so you can be in charge of the real work. But no, that's hard. It seems so hard. That discipline, that training now. You know, got an F. You think you should go to the prom and you just got an F? Let me tell you one thing. You can take that time studying. You don't need to be dancing. You need to be dutiful. But let the cat go. Let the baby go. Now we'll forget it. Clarence James had a son, super football player, high school, tough. He's the nephew of my daughter's godmother and father. Superstar. One day, Clara comes home from work for lunch. It's during the summer, and she heard all this noise in the house. She runs in the house, oh Lord, what's going on? What's happening? Why are y'all making all this noise, all this loud hollering and all that? And the son says, Mama, you won't believe it. Daddy wants me to get out there and cut the grass. To which James said, no, Claire said, James, you know that lawnmower is dangerous. That baby shouldn't be out there. That lawnmower is dangerous. He says, I tell you what's dangerous. Them 2-pound sandwiches that he be toting out of my refrigerator. That's what's dangerous. But see, immediately, Mom wanted to come and contradict what Dad had said. Baby him. And so, if he never cut the grass, you know what will happen? He'll grow up, buy a house, and be like, my neighbor, don't cut that grass! Wherefore, lift up their hands, which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but it rather be healed. Thank God for everything that you're going through. Your bent knees, your bowed heads, your troubled times. Because we have an intercessor. We have a priest that's supreme. He's the author, he's the finisher of our faith. And we're to run like he's the author and finisher of our faith. We are to accept the challenges of this world like he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Times will get rough. You will maybe be disciplined, because everything that happened to you ain't the devil. Some of it is just being disciplined. Do you think everything that happened to you, that devil is trying to get out my way, devil. No, I tell you what, go look in the mirror and say, get out my way, devil. Jesus, the author, creator, sustainer, and ultimate, the perfecter of our faith. See you guys next week.